A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy to have you on board of the podcast once again. Hope you're having an excellent week thus far. It's Tuesday as of this recording, and we got a lot to get to on this new episode of the Cougar Tracks Podcast. There's a lot of great things happening right now in the world of BYU athletics, and I'm happy to talk about it with you here on the podcast. Follow me on Twitter, at Mitch_Harper. You can follow KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at KSL Sports, and also download the KSL Sports app. There, you'll be able to find the podcast, and you can also find the podcast on Apple, Google Play, and Spotify. So subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. So here's what we got on tap today. Kalani Sitake extension. I wanted to take some time to let the extension bake a little bit, kind of just let it sit. You know, usually we live in this reactionary world where something hits and then you give a fire take. You send it off right away. I wanted to let things bake a little bit in the words of Colin Cowherd. I wanted to let it bake, let it simmer a bit, and gather my thoughts on Kalani Sitake's extension because it is a big deal for BYU football. Kalani Sitake, in case you missed it, in case you're under a rock, Sitake was extended through the 2023 season. He's going to be the head man of the BYU football program for the foreseeable future now. Hashtag extend Kalani t-shirts apparently worked. Pretty crazy. Not saying they did. I believe the extension talks started well before that, probably around the Boise State after that, and maybe the Utah State game as well, somewhere in that bye week, and then definitely after the Utah State game. Because once they got that Utah State win, they knew they were going to go to bowl eligibility. Liberty game was a little bit tougher than expected. And then the Idaho State game, you knew that was a lock. But Kalani Sitake is extended. He's the head coach of the Cougars now. He's going to be here till at least 2023. And I've said on the show, I think that's a good move. I said on Sunday that that was the right move to extend Kalani Sitake because for a couple reasons, I think Sitake fits and understands BYU football as well as anyone in the head coaching market now potentially could. You know, I think the knowledge that he has gained coaching at BYU as a football independent where they're trying to establish themselves as a nationally relevant program, that's valuable. And he's kind of had to learn on the job. It's been some growing pains for sure. I think in year one under Kalani Sitake, I think that he had far different expectations of what he could do at BYU compared to what he's expecting now. I really believe that. I think things have changed pretty dramatically. But the thing is that I do believe Kalani's best days coaching at BYU are ahead of him. And Sitake, of course, addressed the media on Monday to discuss the extension. And this was his opening statement to the assembled media.
I'm excited to keep coaching, keep working, you know. So just thankful to, you know, first of all, to our players and hard work and the belief they have in the system and our program. And just thankful to the administration, you know, Tom Homo, President Worthen, for all their hard work and their belief in me and, you know, my coaches and the support staff. Everyone that's been involved with BYU, just so much gratitude coming from me. I just on behalf of me and my family, just thank you. So My family and I, we love it here in Provo. We're just looking forward to spending more time here.
That sounds like a guy that's definitely grateful to be the head coach at BYU. I think there's been some tough parts along the way. That 4-9 season, that was tough. That was hard on Kalani Sitake, and it kind of reshaped the way he approaches coaching at BYU. He took more ownership. He's taken more leadership, and it's shown. And I think that BYU is trending up right now. Now, do I still think that they're going to be a team that could win 10 games on any given year? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, it could have happened this year. You have a healthy Tyson Williams, I think you're winning at least one of those Toledo or USF games. I believe that. And you would have been in position to win 10 games. But more times than not, I think that, you know, Kalani is going to have BYU in a position where they're very consistent. They're competitive against the Power 5 teams that they're playing week in and week out. And I think that the challenge for him is going to be, can he continue to build the depth? Can he continue to add more talent like a Tyson Williams? Can he get guys like that consistently in the program? That's going to be the biggest challenge for Kalani Sitake. And to kind of follow up on that question that Kalani, or the answer Kalani mentioned, I asked him, you know, when did the contract negotiations really ramp up in those talks?
I was focused on football, you know, so I think that Tom had asked me to just trust him in the whole process. And so I think, you know, that he can probably tell you more of the details on it, but my focus has been on trying to win games and trying to keep this team going and keep building the momentum. So if you don't ask details, you can ask him. But I thought they allowed me the opportunity to just keep coaching. That's all I'm thankful for.
Kalani's doing a nice job coaching his team. That's for sure. I mean, I think BYU is playing some good football right now. They're 6-4, and they got an opportunity to win 9 games this year. That administration, Tom Homo, what's going to be needed now from Kalani Sitake? That's going to be one of the big questions for me. But another question I do have, what did Tom Homo say to you maybe before the season as far as what you needed to get done in order to get this contract extension?
No, Mitch, but nice try.
I mean, okay. So really, though, Kalani, what was the message from Tom that you needed to get done?
Mitch, you got to talk to Tom about it.
All right. I mean, I guess I could – I'll talk to Tom. Tom? Hey, Tom, all right over here, man. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate this. Hey, real quick, just Kalani wanted me to talk to you. What did you kind of tell Kalani before the season that he had to get done in order to get a contract extension?
How you doing, brother? And he goes, I'm doing fine. And I'm saying, look great. Let's play ball.
Are you talking to me? I mean, I thank you for the compliment. I really appreciate that, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you, ESPN.
But I don't work with ESPN, Tom. I work with KSL Sports.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome? Tom? Where are you going? Tom! Tom, come back! In all seriousness, though, this is what Tom had to say on the contract extension. Quote, we are pleased to announce a contract extension for Kalani. We believe in him and the direction of the program. Together, we are committed to creating a bright future for BYU football, end quote. Back in January, Tom had this to say when he was asked about Kalani's contract extension. It made it clear that it was really never an issue.
I think people are creating something that they're asking questions where we just typically, historically, I've been here 14 years. If you go back and look at the way we've done it, is we have a kind of a plan, a process that we go through. And this isn't his last year. And we've rarely gone into the last year of a contract. And it's not his last year. So he has more than 1 year left on his contract. I've spoken with Kalani before it even came up just to make sure. We talk all the time. I don't know. I can't say we talk every day, but it's my attempt to talk every day. We talk about all kinds of things. So I know exactly where he stands. He knows exactly where I stand. And we don't talk about it. It externally might have forced the issue where I've gone to him and looked him in the eye and said, how you doing, brother? And he goes, I'm doing fine. And I'm saying, look great. Let's play ball. So I think it's a situation that is created outside, and I understand the reasons, but it's not an issue.
Well, it's definitely not an issue now because Kalani is on the board. He's locked in. He's going to be the head coach of the Cougars through the 2023 season. And going back to an earlier question that I posed, what's next? What are some of the objectives? What are some of the things that Kalani needs to take that next step forward? Because keep in mind, Kalani is 22-23 against FBS foes. That's a sub-500 record. He's going to get to 500 this weekend, but 22-23 at the point of getting a contract extension, 4-0 against FCS teams. So it's been up and down. I think they made the right move giving him the 3 years, because the three-year mark to me shows commitment. It shows that, hey, we're invested in you, but at the same time, it's not a long-term deal long enough that says, hey, you've earned every right to be here forever. 22-23 doesn't mean you can be here forever. Kalani's the right guy, but he's still got room to grow. How can he grow in this position? I think one of the biggest things that he needs, bigger recruiting budget and a bigger recruiting staff. There's no doubt about it. He needs more bodies in that recruiting staff. They got Alema Fatisi-Manu. They got Tasha Bell. They got quite a few people right now, but they need more. They need a bigger recruiting budget. If they want to go out and get all these recruits up and down the West Coast and nationally that are LDS, they need more money on the recruiting budget. They need more money to create a staff that's handling social media for recruiting, just recruiting, sending out mailers, sending out notes, just all day recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. They need a bigger budget for that. Also, more support academically with admissions. I think that is already trending in favor of Kalani going forward. The admission standards at BYU are changing already, and I think you're going to see more exceptions made for players that are maybe being recruited to BYU that are going to play in the football program, that are going to play in the men's basketball or Olympic sports, whatever it may be. I think these coaches, if they put their neck out on the line, they're going to be able to get these guys in or women in. But for the football sense, these guys in. And Tom Holmoe has even said in the past that he'll put his neck out on the line for someone if they feel someone's a right fit for BYU. So I think there's going to be some more exceptions made, and that's got to happen. And when I say exceptions, we're talking about maybe student-athletes that academically don't fit the profile to meet the standards that BYU requires, but they're an individual that could benefit greatly from the BYU experience and be a great potential ambassador for BYU. I think those exceptions have to be made, and I think they will start to happen more going forward. How many? I don't know. But I think you're going to see more, and you're going to see Kalani have more autonomy and having more of ability to get some exceptions done. Because I think you're seeing the admission standards change already a little bit, and that's going to be a positive thing for the BYU football program. What are some of the objectives, I think, in this contract extension? Like, what are the areas, what are the benchmarks, the wins that he has to accomplish? So this is what I think. Between now and 2023, Kalani's got to do the following to continue to show progress and get another contract extension after 2023. I think Kalani's got to deliver at least one 10-plus win season. At least one. Two, that's maybe asking too much, but one is doable. It can be done. It's going to be tough, but it can be done. He's got to get at least one 10-plus win season. 8-plus wins consistently. I think that's got to happen. BYU cannot have another 6-6, 4-9. They can't have that. They got to get back to consistently being an 8-plus win team. And that maybe starts this year. Beat Utah at least once during this extension, at least once. And that's going to be hard because Utah is a well-oiled machine with Kyle Whittingham. Next year might be an opportunity to get them because they lose so much from this year's team. But Kyle Whittingham coaching against BYU, that's a problem. As long as that guy's coaching at Utah, it is going to be a tall task for BYU to take down Kyle Whittingham in Utah. But Kalani's got to do it. And get this, he's only got two more opportunities to do it, 2020 and 2021. 2022 and 2023, there's no rivalry game. So Kalani's got two more chances at Utah. He's got to get one of those, one of them, in the next two against the Utes. Going to be a tall order, though, for sure. Another thing, he's got to beat Utah State every single year. Without fail, got to take down the Aggies. Cannot lose to Utah State again. And I would also add, too, have one season at least where you finish in the top 25, and I think that ties in with a 10-plus win season. So I think that's the objectives. That's the job objectives. And I think also, too, establish an identity and consistency with the offense. But that's kind of a loose thing. Just win ball games. that takes care of the rest. Style points are great and all, and it would be great to have the most explosive offense on turf, but at the end of the day, it's about wins. And if BYU gets 10 wins, is anyone going to complain? No, they're not. I don't think so, at least. I don't. So that's got to be the objectives between now and 2023 for Kalani Sitake. One thing is for sure, though. Kalani, whoever he has on his roster, they are going to play their guts out for Kalani Sitake. They love him. These players on this BYU football team, they love Kalani Sitake. This was Uriah Leotawa on Kalani's extension.
I'm so happy for Kalani. I don't know, man. I testify this to everyone, like, all the time. Like, you don't know how much he puts his heart and soul into it, especially after the two losses. It hurt him more than it hurt more of us, and that hurt a lot of us, too. And he really did show his true character all the way through, and I'm so happy for him. I'm so excited to have him again next year, too.
Uriah is such a good dude, man. He is a good kid. He's a good guy. Out of Compton, California, what a great family he comes from. I mean, he used the word testify. That's pretty cool. I thought that was cool hearing that in the press conference. I also enjoyed Uriah saying this to one of the reporters' questions in the press conference.
I don't really understand the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, that was a funny moment. I usually don't like being the guy that laughs at press conference about someone's question because or someone's response. I don't like that behavior when you hear these chuckles and all. That's like, just stop, please. Stop with the chuckling. Stop with the laughing. Someone had a moment. But that was pretty funny. He's just flat out like, hey, I don't understand your question, man. Like, I don't get it, bro. I don't know what you're asking.
I don't really understand the question. I'm sorry.
Jamal Williams had that moment, too, on Saturday. You know, Jamal, of course, he had that incident with a Packers reporter. He did the same thing with a BYU reporter on Saturday as well. So some funny stuff in the media scrum. Some more reaction from BYU football players on the Kalani extension. This was Kyrus Tonga on the extension for Kalani.
For me, it meant the world. I felt like I was getting a contract extension. Kalani has a, I don't know, man, it's just more than football to him. And I'm just happy for him and happy for his family. We love Coach Kalani and everything he stands for.
You know, it's a tune and a tone that is unique. You know, again, I don't claim to cover all these programs in college football and follow them anywhere close to what I do with BYU, but these BYU players, their passion for Kalani, it is real. It's a real thing. And these players will truly, I know it's cliche, but they'll run through a wall for the guy. And there's something to be said about that. And I think the fact that these guys dug deep and bounced back from 2-4 was a real testament to the potential of Kalani Sitake. But he's got to harness it every single week. BYU's got to be a team that's consistent. Because like this week against UMass, you're a 39.5 or 41.5 point favorite, whatever it is now, I don't even know. But it's a big favorite. You just got to go in and take care of business and get it done and don't play down to the competition. BYU has shown far too often at times they'll play down to their competition or they'll lose games they're not supposed to. That can't happen going forward. In this contract extension, another objective should be you do not lose to teams from the Group of Five ranks that will have losing records. That can't happen, period. You can't lose to UMass that had 4 wins. You can't lose to East Carolina, who was one of the worst defenses in college football. That can't happen no more. It's done. It's over. Your roster now is starting to come together, and Kalani is going to have a deeper and better roster next year. But those type of losses cannot happen. And that's going to be one of the things that Kalani and his program got to avoid. And I think, you know, this week will be a nice indicator to see the progress continuing to build for this program, because UMass is a terrible game. Awful game. I don't even know why the heck it's being played. It's so terrible. Like, I'm floored that this game is being played. Usually, I love any college football. I can get down with an FCS game. I can get down with some of these games. But this game at Amherst is downright terrible. But with that said, it's an opportunity for BYU to get better. And they got to be locked in. They got to be dialed in. And they show up, kick their trash, and then get out of Amherst healthy and then get ready for the final game of the season. They got to do that. Don't let this be a game where you win by only 14. that would feel like a loss. Goodness gracious. If you're a 40-point favorite and you won by only like 20, make you go, Again, a win's a win, but get it done. Don't play down to the competition. So curious to see what BYU does this weekend, because really there's nothing on the line. There's nothing. It's a exhibition. UMass, this is their last game of the season. BYU, they already know their bowl game fate. This is just a glorified exhibition, but it's an opportunity for young players that pretty much comprise this BYU roster to get better. Zach Wilson, got to get better. The whole team, got to get better. So there you go. You can share your thoughts with me on Kalani's extension at @Mitch_Harper or tweet at me there @Mitch_Harper and then #CougarTracks as well. Heard from Kyrus Tonga there about the contract extension. Good stuff there from Kyrus. I'm also curious, too, with Kyrus, you know, how is he going to play down the stretch? Is he a guy that's looking to go to the NFL? Does this extension kind of weigh on him, maybe alter his view? Like, hey, Kalani's back. He's my guy. Coach G's my guy. I'm going to come back for those guys. I don't know. I think he's a guy, though, that's probably going to be headed to the NFL. Just my personal opinion. I think Kyrus is going to be going to the league next year. So enjoy Kyrus Tonga while BYU has him, because three more games guaranteed, hopefully guaranteed, knock on wood with injuries. Kyrus Tonga's got three more games at BYU. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast, leave a rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. We'll talk some BYU basketball, taking on Boise State tomorrow. Also, signing day, the last signing day of the early signing period in college basketball. Could BYU be adding a third signee? We'll talk about that. And also more BYU football as the buildup to the flowfootball.com exclusive BYU versus UMass coming up on Saturday. This is the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. We're just a fan. You don't hold me. Don't hold no rain. Yeah. Pretty, really good with a sick mouth and a snake. It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.